Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily here on a Tuesday morning. I have no idea what day of the week it is. We've officially hit that point in the year. Every day feels like 2026 is coming up tomorrow. We got two more. We got a show today. We got a show tomorrow. Then it will be 2026. TJ Cleland in with you on this morning. Jackson Schneider pulling back-to-backs, helping us out here on KFH, filling for Jacob Albrecht as he's out yonder in the other states outside of Kansas, probably where it's still 90 degrees. Jackson, let me tell you, I was down in Texas for the last week, and it was literally, the truck said 90 degrees. I could not believe it. It was disgusting. Me and Max have this argument just about every single week as since the burr months have started, that I complain that it should be cold and they complain that it should be hot. Where do you stand on this? Do you like the 90 degree Christmas?
I don't like a 90 degree Christmas, but I do like what we had this Christmas here in Wichita, which was like 65 degree Christmas. I thought that was pretty good, pretty nice, like right in the middle.
So you want to grill out on Christmas? You're one of those guys.
Christmas, I will say, like the days surrounding Christmas, if it's going to snow, I'm cool with that. Right 100%. Around that time, but like Today, I'm past Christmas. I don't need snow. I don't need cold. I would much rather live now, in a warm climate. Even though I'm a perpetually sweaty individual, I would rather be warm than I would be cold.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Now that we're putting a bow on football season, as we get into the playoffs and stuff like that, the cold doesn't do us any good anymore. Like, the cold was good because you didn't want to, you know, sweat your tail off sitting at a football stadium. And now, as we get into, once we get into, you know, conference basketball time, like, I'm cool with wearing shorts all the time. Lots to get into today. We'll stop talking about the climate and actually talk about some sports talk radio here on KFH. We've got Wyatt Thompson joining the show at 7:15, voice of the Wildcats. We'll dig into K-State's too narrow of a win over Louisiana Monroe. We'll dig into why that was a little troubling as they begin conference play with their next opponent. Gauntlet to start conference play for them. We'll dig into what Andy Reid said yesterday in his press conference with local reporters on what the future of Andy Reid could look like. And we'll dig into Monday Night Football, which was a crazy one last night. I could not believe it. It was must-watch TV. As much flack as I gave that game of saying, oh boy, it's week 17. Who wants to watch the Rams-Falcons? Man, I could not turn the TV off last night. It was great. Lots of it coming up. That's what's on tap here, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun while everyone is in town. Make WBC your unofficial high school or college alumni meetup spot. Over 15 different beers, a Christmas cocktail list, and pizzas everyone will love. Make Wichita Brewing Company the place where groups gather for the holiday season. Jackson, I know your day job. You're done for the year, correct?
Yeah, I am off until... Dude, I think it's January 5th, which is a nice perk.
You've been done. When did you get off? You got off probably like the 20th?
The 19th of December. So it was a nice. My birthday is the 18th, so I got to go have some fun on my birthday and not have to wake up for work the next morning. It was nice.
Look at that. You've been homebodying it up. It's going to hit you like a ton of bricks. I know that this week at the TV station is about to.
I would argue I've been working harder, you know, it's since true. I've been
at
home.
You got like a
8 month old.
You got like a what? An 8 month old, as I say.
Got to keep it. Like, we're at the point now, I was telling Tommy yesterday, where really need to start cleaning up the Christmas decorations and things. But it's not so much because Christmas is over, it's because I've got an 8 month old that's trying to get into everything and deciding that he likes to pull himself up now. And he is threatening to pull the entire Christmas tree down. So we gotta try and get that taken care of.
I don't know. When is we'll dig into that. It's December 30th, people. I don't know what you want us to really dig into here off the top. So we'll ask that question. When do you take the Christmas decorations down? When is an acceptable time?
I feel like you get the month of January. Like, because
the whole month?
Like, it's so cold outside, especially if you've got a bunch of lights and things like that. It's such a pain in the butt to take down. If it's freezing outside, like, I get it. Leave it up. Nobody's going to judge. But if you get the calendar into February, I'm going to start looking at you a little bit sideways.
What about the inside decorations? That's what I'm talking about. When's the tree come down?
I lived in a house where it was up for a couple of weeks after Christmas. I don't really agree with that so much. Like, I'm ready for it to move on, but at the same time, like, what else are we gonna have up? Are we gonna start decorating for Valentine's Day? I do not live in a Walmart. I would rather not have the Valentine's Day stuff up already, but that seems to be what's next on the list.
I'm with you. Yeah, we are new homeowners. For those that have followed along with that saga throughout the show, we're new homeowners in 2025. So this is our first Christmas in the new house, and it is, I mean, we're big Christmas honks. We're Griswolds around here, so we've got everything put up. So this is about to be a very depressing house in the next coming week once we take everything down, because there's going to be a lot of empty space that don't have anything to go there. So we'll figure that out as we go along here. Jackson, did you watch any of Monday Night Football? We'll touch quickly on that.
I did. I found myself wondering, like, mid-second quarter, how the game was happening the way it was happening, because the Falcons have not been a good team. But the last couple times I've watched the Falcons, they've beaten pretty decent teams.
I know.
Despite being eliminated from the playoffs, and I just can't figure it out, because the way Bijan Robinson ran the football last night and the way they were defending, and I know Matt Stafford threw him a couple, which helps the case certainly. But how was that team that I watched last night beat the Rams, who I thought were one of the best teams in the NFL, how is that team not in the playoffs?
I agree. I mean, that's the one thing that I took away from that as well. And I mean, like, I don't frequent Atlanta Falcons football, especially because they haven't been relevant in a couple of years. But, like, I mean, watching what they've got, you know, obviously Penix is an experiment and everything like that. But even when they had Kirk Cousins last year, who was an MVP candidate the year before, like, they had him, they had Bijan, they had Drake London, they have, you know, a whole slew of guys that are, you know, a really talented group. I don't know how they're not good. And they'll figure it out eventually, I think. They're all still pretty young. That's a good win last night to get everybody excited, at least, even though in the grand scheme it really means nothing for Atlanta. It means a lot for Los Angeles to lose that game. And so they're going to have to figure that out.
I got a question for you here. Like, if you put yourself in, like, the mind of an Atlanta Falcons fan, because I tried to do this last night. If you're sitting there and you're eliminated from the playoffs – and you're seeing this team just now start to put this together, are you happy? Or are you, like, peeved a little
bit? That's what I keep thinking about.
Where was this a month or two ago when you could give yourself a chance to actually play in the postseason? And it, like, because I would be upset, and I would be almost calling for jobs, because what's the deal? I think
one, you watched that game last night. I think that Raheem Morris might have saved his job by winning that game, to say, like, hey, if I can do this, imagine what I can do, you know, going forward. But in the same breath, why didn't you do that for the first 16 weeks of the season? So it's really interesting, because we're kind of living it as Chiefs people now, of like, I didn't know. I really was looking at that Broncos game on Christmas, and they almost did it. But it's like, they're going to find a way to win that game. And it's like, are you even happy that they won the game? Like, are you happy that they put up a fight? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, why couldn't we do this with Josh Briscoe
about that yesterday? Of like, do we really want to see good things, or do we want to just take the loss and move on?
I agree. We've got much more coming up. We're going to take a break really quick. When we come back, Wyatt Thompson will join the show for the last time in 2025. We'll talk a little Louisiana Monroe Warhawk basketball, but more so, we'll talk a little BYU Cougars, who are up next. Conference plays up next for the Cats. We're going to take a break. Stick with us right here on Sports Daily.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
It is another Sports Daily Insider interview here on KFH. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joining us this morning. Wyatt, it's the last time talking to you in 2025. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes, I did. It was really, really good. But it goes so fast, as you guys know. We turned right around and played the basketball game on Sunday. I'm actually talking to you from Wichita. I'm at the airport getting ready to fly from here to Denver to El Paso, and we'll do the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Looking so forward to that. So, yeah, on the move again, but great Christmas. How about you guys? Good to see you, by the way.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Spent some time back in southeast Kansas in my neck of the woods. I can tell you're sitting at the terminal there. I've been in that. That's the best airport in the world. Not to throw free ads out there. It's the best air. You can get there 15 minutes before your flight. I tell people when they come to Wichita, they're like, what's the best thing about it? And they expect me to say, like, restaurants are downtown. I'm like, oh, take a flight out of it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. The last time I flew out of Wichita, I timed myself. Front door to gate was less than 5 minutes, and that included a stop at the Dunkin' Donuts right inside security. This is pretty darn good.
Yeah. There you go. He did too.
Yeah.
All right, Wyatt, let's dig into it. Probably more, maybe optimistic thinking about Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl than what we saw against the Warhawks on Sunday. Louisiana Monroe, to put this into perspective, they have 3 wins on the year, and 2 of their wins came against teams that don't have an actual logo on ESPN. So one Division I win against the worst team in basketball, and they headed to a 4-point game with 3 minutes left. I didn't get a chance to watch much of it with all the Christmas shenanigans going on. What kind of happened there? Why did it get so stressful?
Well, it was a game of they were pretty good for a while, we were pretty good for a while, and it kind of trended that way in the second half, but just flopped. K-State was pretty good out of the gate in the second half, and then they took the foot off the gas pedal, and they kind of caught up, and as you say, next thing you know, it's 75-71, and you're really sweating. I think it's a situation where K-State was in such control after, I mean, think about this. They had a 22-6 run to get back into the game. And K-State, prior to that run, was dominating. And then they dominated after they made that run there in the second half. And K-State was the better team for a while. So I guess what I'm struggling to say is, I'll just be blunt, it was a struggle, and it shouldn't have been. And I think it was all about focus. When they had focus and were playing hard, they were clearly the better team. And when they weren't, it was a fight. And you got to kind of clean those kind of things up because, as you guys know, the games now get really, really most difficult and hard, whatever you want to say. We start conference play Saturday the 3rd at home against BYU, and then we've got the trip next week to Arizona. So no easy ones to once you get into the 12.
Yeah, definitely not, but mention focus, and that's always, I think, a lot of the coaches that I've talked to or dealt with, you know, some of those last games before a holiday break or after that holiday layoff, because you get a couple of days to go back home and to relax, which I think is very important. We talked to Wichita State head coach Paul Mills yesterday, and he was talking about the importance of that mental reset, but the problem with that is it's kind of hard to lock back in right away, I think, sometimes against especially a team like a Louisiana Monroe that maybe doesn't get your attention like a BYU might. So is that maybe the big reason there? Because it's certainly not a lack of talent. We've seen that from K-State for most of this season. But is it just that little lack of attention to detail maybe, or that lack of focus that still needs to be improved upon?
I think it's a little of all of that, to be honest with you. And you said it perfectly from this perspective. The game prior to Christmas, you know, as a coach, you worry about, are they here? Or have they already checked out, and in their mind they're thinking about flights and what have you? And just to throw this out here, I thought this was kind of cool. Our foreign kids who couldn't go all the way home decided they would collaborate together. They've experienced the Little Apple and went to the Big Apple in New York City and sightseed for a couple of days, and I think had a really, really good time. I think the focus into Christmas was pretty good. Coach was really happy with the way they came back. They got back late Sunday night, practiced, or Christmas night, I should say, practiced the next morning. And he was really happy with the way they came back in terms of their shape and, you know, focus and that kind of stuff. But then you get into the game and if I know, TJ, you mentioned you didn't see much. To put it into perspective, how much focus matters. TJ, this is the truth. Ready? PJ had 1 point at halftime and finished with 24. That tells you a lot, right?
It does.
And this is a team that I think we've seen, and this may be an all-year thing, pretty good offensive basketball team, but they've got a ways to go on the defensive end and consistency. Just, you know, when they are locked in, to hang in that vicinity. They don't have to be at 99% all the time, but be at 85, not 55, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right way to say it or equate it, but hey, they've got to be more consistent, period.
Yeah, that's been the biggest thing that we've seen all year since they got the first loss of the year. You know, it's been a similar trend, and that's the kind of thing that you can take away from non-conference games is, what are the trends? What do we need to fix before we get into the games that really matter? We've talked about this team. Jacob and I share the same sentiment, I think, with you as well, is that K-State's a program where if you don't make the tournament, it's a failed year. And with this roster, if you get P.J. Haggerty to come play basketball for you, you need to make the tournament. If they don't, it's going to be a failed year. And it's going to take, you know, they didn't have the non-conference that dominated and got all the key wins they needed to. They lost a couple games they should have won, which is going to go against the at-large resume. But they're in the Big 12, where every single game is a quad one game, basically.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
How important does the stretch get?
Well, I think everything is important. Let me give you an example. I think they were 53 in the net going into ULM. They kind of sloshed their way through that, I'll say. I looked the next morning, and they go from 53 to 59. And I thought they might fall even a little bit farther than that, just based on where ULM is in the grand scheme of things, because they were in the mid-350s, right? I mean, they're one of the poorer teams in all of college basketball, and K-State's had a couple of those on their schedule, including Mississippi Valley State. So it all matters. But your point is a good one, too, that the games get harder. But also with that, hopefully the focus is better. As a team, you're making some progress, and I want to talk about that briefly too, but every night out, you know, you're probably going to help yourself more times than not. There may be an exception or two, whether it's, you know, not picking on anybody, but, you know, we don't know how good UCF is. Colorado lost at home to Northern Colorado the other day. But most of the time when you're playing in the Big 12, you're going to play a team where you're probably going to be helped more times than it's even Steven, or lower than that, if that makes sense. In terms of the improvement, here's the one thing that I think I would point out. I do think you see that those, I'll call them the four core guys, okay, have been pretty good offensively and bring some things to the table. And, of course, I'm talking about Abdi, Nate, PJ, and David Castillo. But I'm excited about Kamari and what he's doing. And I really, really think that we're starting to see Doreen Buca play better. And better helps. I mean, he had a 13-minute game the other night and had 7 points, 3 rebounds, and a block. And he had a 5-5-5 game prior to that. So he's stepping up. Elias is becoming more of a guy you can rely on. I loved his effort at times on Sunday because, I mean, he was getting on the floor and he has really good basketball IQ. He's starting to figure out the American game. So you get those guys even a little bit better, all of that matters and helps.
Wyatt, Taj Manning stood out to me a little bit on Sunday. Yeah. You know, he's not a guy that got or has gotten a ton of run so far in his K-State career, but over the last few games, we've seen him more and more, and I know he just played 13 minutes on Sunday, but he puts up 8 points, pulls in 7 rebounds, had a couple of assists. Like, he seems to be one of those guys that's making some improvement to provide some help to those four key guys you just mentioned.
You know, it's really an interesting story for me because he's somewhat of a, you know, a local guy. He's from Grandview, Missouri, and loves K-State. He's been around a little while. I think probably some would say he's not good enough to play at the Big 12 level, but I think he's improved enough that he can help some. And you mentioned those numbers. When he plays like that, and he's one of those guys that doesn't mind getting dirty and getting on the floor and playing hard. He had a couple of terrific passes to Buca for stuffs in the game against Louisiana Monroe. And he's just, you can see that he's more confident in really everything he's doing. And he's gone from 5 or 6 minutes a game up to 12, 13, 14, 15 minutes a game. And can he do that in the Big 12? Well, we'll see. But I think at least he goes into league play as a confident player. And maybe that helps you some too. But I'm one of those guys that always says you need a guy or two like that on your team. You can't have too many of them, right?
Yeah.
But I love Taj because, A, his work ethic, and B, how much he loves Kansas State and what he's doing there and is afforded to do there.
Yeah, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joining the show here. Let's switch over to football quickly. We haven't spoken since Coach Klein is now officially the head coach, not the head coach and offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. I imagine he's in Manhattan and has been full go. I've seen the staff hires and everything. But, you know, with all of it, we've seen a lot of departures, especially on the defensive side. I'll just start there. Well, we saw Jace Brown as well, though. But just everybody that's leaving right now, this is kind of the best way to explain to people is that the exit meetings are happening and these conversations are being had. That's why it all happens at one time and everybody decides that it's all outgoing. But, you know, you see all these names leaving. It means it's going to get really busy in about 4 days.
Well, and there's so much on the table right now when you talk about K-State football with Colin Klein because he's still finishing off hiring the staff, as you know. He's kind of got most of the defensive staff in place, not quite all of it, but close. I think you're going to see some announcements here in the next few days, probably about offensive guys. I've been told that they're really close on a running backs coach, and it may be days here. And you're right. One thing that's happening right now is these coaches are traveling all over the country and visiting players that are on the current roster and are maybe wavering a little bit, or just they're just making sure these guys are okay and they're all in. You need anything, let us know, what have you. I know they're trying to balance, you know, seeing what's in the portal and knowing that they're going to have some loss. I think we probably undervalued that there was going to be maybe more attrition than we'd hoped. And those things happen. Toby Osensami kind of surprised me. Ryan Davis did not, as an example. Chidi Obiezor surprising a little bit. Quay Moss a lot, but I'm told, I'm hearing things that he may come back.
That'd be nice.
And that would be great. I think he'd like the hires. And that stuff matters too, guys. It's hard to, you know, talk to a Devin Bass and see where he's at when he doesn't know who his position coach is yet, as an example. It's all over the map right now. But what I would tell K-State fans, it's like this in a lot of programs, maybe not with the coaching change, but how volatile it is. But I would even go as far as, I'm not trying to be funny in any way, but just would say, relax. You have to understand how many bodies, players, people are in the portal. There are going to be some cherries to be picked there. Maybe that's the best way to say it.
It's true.
I think Colin and the staff will do a good job. This probably will be the only off season that we've seen like this for K-State. Who knows how long Colin will be running things with Kansas State football, but I don't think we'll see another off season quite like this. That's obvious.
No. Well, while we're talking about, you know, football and K-State, I haven't gotten to really ask you about this, but you are in the unique position that you not only know Colin as a coach, but you got to know him as a player. And for maybe our listeners that might not know this perspective from you, can you fill us in on just what you know about Colin Klein as an individual and how you've seen him mature to the point of being the next football coach at Kansas State?
Well, I appreciate you asking that because I think Colin is what I will describe. He has the potential to be a star in this, to be honest with you. I think he is a guy who very much relates to young people. I think he will be a dynamic recruiter. I think he will have a staff that will recruit really well. Will it be similar to, you know, Coach Snyder, Coach Kleiman, what have you, maybe a little better? I think it's all in play. We'll see how that plays out. But the point is that he's young, energetic, understands what's going on and how the portal is working, and yet trying to figure out what's next, right? Because the landscape is so weird, you have to stay so engaged. And I'm rambling a little bit about it to say this. Colin is one of the most unique people that I've had a chance to meet in a 50-year broadcast career. I have said this before publicly. I continue to say it. I think he was the best player leader that I've ever been around. And that's a mouthful when I've been around guys like Terrence Newman and Darren Sproles and, you know, Jordy Nelson and people like that. Is there a lot of separation between all of those guys? Not necessarily. But Colin had that natural ability to throw 115, 20 guys on his shoulder and say, follow me, fellas. You saw what he did as a junior. Remember now, this was a guy that came to K-State and was not going to be a quarterback, right? But once he became one, he became a pretty damn good one. And like everything else in his life, you know, he's a good human. He's a good father, husband, parent, whatever. And I think he's going to be sensational at this. And he's just a very confident, secure guy, believes in what he's doing. And I think, kind of like what I've said with Stanton Weber, you know, with his base of what he has learned and who he has learned it from, you would assume that that would equate into success because, like in Stanton's case, learning under Bill Snyder, Sean Snyder, Shane Beamer, and then being 3 years at Toledo on his own, I think he's ready for this. And with Colin and what he's done, you know, he's paid his dues too, even though he's just 36 years old. From my perspective, I guess paying dues is different for everybody in eyes of the beholder. But for what he's done in a short period of time, I mean, like everybody sees that he's special, and I believe he is.
Yeah, listen, I mean, that's the best way to put it is that, you know, just from what he's shown you as a quarterback of being a leader of his team whenever he's a player, he could have been an accountant and gotten hired as a head coach, basically, just because of what he showed as a player. Wyatt, we'll wrap this up here and let you, you know, roam around Eisenhower Airport a little bit. Sun Bowl, let's talk some Sun Bowl. Sun Devils versus Blue Devils, right? Is Darian Mensah playing? You got to call him almost beating K-State last year.
Oh, yeah, and it's an interesting thing because when you prepare for these games, and I love the preparation part of it, but I have to say it's much more of a challenge now with I mean, opt-outs with the NFL. You've got injuries, of course, that makes a difference. And then the portal. You'd be surprised at how many players from these teams, in particular Arizona State, are in the portal. We've had opt-outs with – I'm looking at my depth chart with Duke here, and their top tackle offensively, Brian Parker, has opted out, getting ready for the NFL. And let me put that into perspective for you. Their offensive – they had a nice year, man. They won the ACC championship, mm-hmm. surprised Virginia in the title game. But their five starters on the offensive line played 13 games together. That's kind of a rarity, right? But not the 14th, because he's getting ready to head to the next level. From the Arizona State perspective, their number one running back, Relique Brown, he's opted out. And they're going from that. This is a guy that carried the ball 186 times, had 34 catches on the year. Put it into perspective. The next guy up is Demarius Robinson. He's carried the ball 9 times in 13 games.
Whew.
So
that's crazy attrition, right?
Yeah,
crazy.
It isn't going to be the regular season team for either of these clubs. But with that said, I think it's going to be a fun game to call. And I would slightly favor Arizona State. But in all honesty, that's probably my Big 12 bias there, too.
It probably is. Why we've got it, yeah. too. We'll wrap it up. We're up against it. We'll talk next week and talk about some Big 12 basketball. BYU on Saturday. Wyatt, appreciate it.
Thanks,
Wyatt. Absolutely, guys. Good talking to you.
If you missed any of Wyatt Thompson in the past segment, the voice of the Wildcats, you can go back on the Odyssey app, listen to the podcasted version, as you can listen to all of our shows on the Odyssey app or where you get your podcast to listen to all of our sports talk here on KFH. Sports talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. One more Chiefs game for us. It's weird to think about that we know when the Chiefs season is going to end, but that's the reality that we're living in. They'll play the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. You can watch that one on Paramount Plus or locally here on KWCH. Channel 12 will have that game. It's a noon kick as we will wrap up. I think it's a noon kick. I don't know that. I need to double check. It was one of the TBD games. I assume it's a noon kick.
3:25 on Sunday.
3:25. Oh, excuse me. They got the 3:25 kick. It's a primetime game. Everybody wants to watch Chris Oladokun versus is Geno still playing quarterback for the Raiders?
I think so.
I have no idea. I have not watched a
Raven more of an indictment on the Raiders that may be the case and we have no idea. But
I think I can name maybe two Raiders players that will play. I know Max Crosby is going to get shut down for that one on Sunday. So, going to be a great game, though. We're going to get to watch the Chris Oladokun show one more time, and then we'll figure out where they go from there at the quarterback position. One of the other questions going into the new year is we've got Max, you got this pulled up here for us, is Andy Reid's future. We've been talking about Andy Reid's future at the end of every single year since 2020, basically, and now it feels like there may be some legitimate steam after the season they had this year. He was asked about it by reporters yesterday. Max, if we have this pulled up, we can play this here.
Apologize there. I know you've gone through this every year for the last few years, but
maybe
you know, is there any scenario that you can imagine where you're not back as the coach next year?
But yeah, Andy Reid spoke to reporters yesterday. It's just been a weird year. There's been a lot of people.
I don't know if you can hear it. It was, yeah, I can hear it. Max and I can hear it, but I think it's playing. So we'll leave
it. Go ahead, Max.
I think I'm coming back. Right.
I don't think we have it. I don't think we have it.
Have me back.
It's all right. We'll just move on here.
You never know what
we were going to say. Asked yesterday by our friend Matt Derrick up in Kansas City, one of the Chiefs beat reporters, as we're having some technical difficulties there. We apologize about that. Matt Derrick asked Andy Reid, is there any scenario that you won't return as the head coach next year? Andy Reid said, no, I think I'm coming back, right? If they'll have me back, if they'll have me back, I'll come back. You never know in this business, Matt, so that's a tough one, but I plan on coming back, yeah. Is there a scenario where the Chiefs won't have Andy Reid back? That is crazy talk, right? I'm not crazy, right?
I don't know why you wouldn't have him back. I mean, he seems to me like a guy that's literally going to coach until he can't coach anymore, which may be the end of this contract, which he's still under contract for, what, four more years?
Yeah. Something it's not like this offseason. I know that.
Let me see here. He's on contract through 2029. That's what it is. Yeah. So 4 more years, and he's making around $20 million a year. So I think he's going to keep coaching until they don't let him coach anymore. And if you're the Chiefs, like Clark Hunt or Brett Veach or Mark Donovan, like you would be silly not to have him come back. Despite the struggles this year, I think you had to know that was coming at some point because you have to pay for the success in a league like this. Like, it is designed to create parity and for dynasties to not exist. So when you can create a dynasty like Andy Reid has helped to create, you're going to pay for that with a bad year or two every once in a while, just when it all catches up to you. I don't think it has anything really to do with Andy Reid, like, struggling or falling behind as a coach as much as it has to do with just players getting older and then dealing with injuries and like the salary cap. Like, everything else outside of Andy Reid is probably why the Chiefs struggled this year. I don't have any qualms with him whatsoever coming back. I'm actually very glad he's coming back, because if there's anybody who can get you back to success after a down year, it's probably Andy Reid.
This is an interesting conversation, and every time I have it with Jacob, he just kind of wants to punch me in the face, and I don't blame him. It's a crazy conversation to have, but like there's been a lot of, you know, speculation online about the offense this year, and for good reason. You know, they sputtered in a lot of big spots, but it was still, you know, it was an okay offense, but like, you know, it felt like they weren't utilizing the tools that they had to their disposal. Like, they had probably the best wide receiver core, deepest wide receiver core, you know, in the AFC, in the AFC West for sure. You know, you have these, you know, highest paid center and highest paid right guard in the league, and you don't run the football up the middle. Like, there's questions about the play calling and everything like that. And typically when there's questions about the play calling, everybody says, we got to go fire the offensive coordinator. The Chiefs offensive coordinator does not call the plays. And so there's been a lot of Chiefs fans that have said, like, and Andy's lost the fastball. Andy's lost the fastball. Was there any qualm with you with, you know, play calling, with decision making, you know, as an observer?
Not really. The main issue that I had with the Chiefs and their play calls, and I'm going to use air quotes as I say play calls, because it's more play execution than anything. A huge part of what the Chiefs' offense is RPOs. You know, there is a run and a pass option on virtually every play, and for the first half of the season, that was what the Chiefs had relied upon. But Patrick Mahomes really struggled with the running part of that. He went to the pass read almost every single time, whether that was the correct read or not. And a lot of times, in certain mistakes that he made, that was the wrong read. I think specifically to the Colts game, which the Chiefs ended up winning, but they had the ball. I think it was their first drive of the game. They were pinned like inside their own 10-yard line, and one of their first plays they run was this RPO where Patrick Mahomes kind of puts the ball in the belly of the running back, and all he has to do is let go of that football, and you're probably going to get a 2-3-4-yard gain. It's not going to be, you know, the greatest run of all time, because as I talked about yesterday with Tommy, like, the Chiefs running game has not been good enough, because you don't have that kind of talent there right now, it doesn't seem like. But all Patrick Mahomes wanted to do was pull that ball and throw it. He slings it right into the face of a Colts defensive end who tips it up in the air almost like a volleyball set, catches it himself and falls to like the 2-yard line and sets up the go-ahead touchdown early in the game for the Colts. But we saw that from Patrick Mahomes a few too many times this year, probably more than we have in the past, and I don't really know what the deal was there. But I didn't have issues with the Chiefs' play calling. I just had issue with how they were executing the called plays. That was my main problem.
It's a weird, you know, kerfuffle. Maybe their best way. I don't know if that's the right word or not. Conundrum, maybe. It is. You know, you've got a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback here, and it's kind of like it wasn't like they were butting heads, but something was getting lost in translation, it felt like, you know. And I agree, you know, whenever you have a Hall of Fame quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you're going to let him, you know, make decisions like that. I think that was basically the reason why the offense is set up to where it's like, Pat, you're basically the coach on the offense. Just go out there and make the decision that you want to. You make all these great plays because you make split-second decisions so well. And so I agree with the sentiment to run a ton of RPOs. But whenever it's not working, you know, do you as a coach, I mean, do you look at Patrick Mahomes and be like, listen, man, we got to take some decision-making power out of your hand? Like, can you tell Patrick Mahomes that?
Honestly, I don't think you want to, like, say it as though, like he hasn't been good enough, but he may know. I think a lot of the best in the NFL have no issue looking in the mirror or watching film and going, yeah, that's my fault. I made the mistake there. And I think Patrick Mahomes has taken ownership to some of his mistakes that he made this year. But I think you look at him and you go, hey, if we can take some of the decision-making out of your hands here, you've got a little bit less on your shoulders, a little bit less to worry about, and we can put you in different positions to be successful. And I think you might find a little bit more sustained success in the future. But part of that, you know, part of taking the decision out of his hands is giving him other people he can lean on. And the biggest issue there for me was the running game. And we, again, yesterday talked about this with the potential changes in the running back room for next year for the Chiefs. Like, do you bring back a Kareem Hunt on a one-year cheap deal just to keep him, you know, for some sort of holdover in the running back room? Do you start to use Breshard Smith as an actual running back rather than just tossing passes into the flat or using him in special teams? Do you go into the draft and try to get a Jeremiah Love with a top 10 pick? Or do you try to get a Breece Hall in free agency? Like, there's so many options that the Chiefs could run with to create a better running game. But here's the kicker to that. You have so many options to try and improve that running game, but the offensive line is going to ultimately dictate your success in running the football, and they haven't been healthy in two full seasons now up front. So I don't really care who you're running the ball with if you don't have a fully healthy offensive line or a fully functioning offensive line, because at times, even when the Chiefs' offensive line was healthy, it wasn't as productive as you would really hope it to be. So I think there's like, the running game is a problem as a whole, like that whole umbrella, but underneath that, you've got two or three different things you have to address to improve it moving forward before you can start to really take some load off the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes. It's a multifaceted, horrible issue, but the Chiefs have the luxury of time because they know they're not making the postseason. They're not going to be playing an extra 3-4 games this year to try and win another Super Bowl. They can turn the page to next year and already start working on that while other teams are trying to go win a trophy. And that's a position they haven't been in a very long time.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, and it's something I've talked to Jacob as well, by the way. I'm sorry for the baby coughs. I've caught the Jacob Albrock man cold here. It's interesting because we've talked about, you know, and if you go back and listen back in September, even October, like, whenever they had Josh Simmons out there and they had the front five where they wanted it to go, even when they lost Josh Simmons and put Jalen Moore out there, like, we were still sitting there talking about, like, this is so much better than it was last year. Like, this offensive line is great. This offensive line is great. And then, like, they kind of got a little worse, and then they got injured, 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 and then they got injured. And they lost the entire front five, basically, at one point, except for Creed Humphrey. And so it's a weird concept to think about. Like, is the offensive line fixed? And the sample size that we got, you don't know. Like, as you go into 2026, is that fixed? And based on the 4 weeks that we saw of it altogether, you feel good about it. But again, it was 4 weeks altogether, not a 17-week span to feel good about it. And so as you go into this next year, there's going to be changes. And we've talked about the changes that will be coming because there's guys that are on expiring deals and guys that will retire and guys that will be, you know, cap casualties. Do you run back as much as you can, or do you just say, like, we got to try something?
I think this last couple of years was the run it back. You're like, you're going to keep running it back until it's not successful. Well, here we are.
It wasn't successful.
Like, it's time to move on and try some new things and maybe bring in some new talent, some fresh perspectives, whether that's players or coaching staff or both. I think it's time to turn the page and see what you can do in the future with the different cast of characters.
There's a lot of interesting stuff coming on. We've talked about the running back room a lot. I want to dig more into that on the other side of the break here. Coming up, another hour of Sports Daily. Jackson Schneider, TJ Cleveland with you, brought to you by Prairie Fire Coffee, keeping us fueled up on a January 30th heading into the new year. We'll be right back. What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another hour of Sports Daily here on KFH. Jackson Schneider in for Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleveland, as we wrap up the year of 2025. As Jacob always tells you, this is the perfect time to give a call to Crestview Country Club, as it is freezing cold outside. Last week was a pretty good week for golf. Jackson, you a golf guy? Do you golf?
I don't do it well, but I do enjoy it. You know, haven't played a lot over the last few months. It's hard to with a little guy at home, but
I imagine.
I'd like to get back out there. Maybe not today or in the next couple of days while it's really cold, but I would have loved to over Christmas. It was beautiful outside. Beautiful.
I know. It killed me. I had so many plans going on, and I had to get up to Arrowhead to go cover that game because I would have 100% swung the golf club, especially with my father-in-law. It was killing him that we weren't swinging golf clubs, mostly because we were puppy-sitting all day. In case anybody saw the beginning of the show, that we are puppy-sitting. That's actually our puppy. We're not puppy-sitting. Puppy training this morning is why the different background and everything like that. He's currently taking a nap at my feet, and so everything is going swimmingly. If any whimpering pops up, I apologize for all of that. Anybody wants to join the show as we wrap up the new year, you can call the KFH hotline. Excuse me. Max Power is manning that KFH hotline, 869-1240. Call, chime in. We're talking some Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk a little KU Jayhawks coming up later in the show, as well as Monday Night Football, as we still can't really figure out who's good and who's not in the NFL. I want to dig into that conversation a bit. All of that coming up. What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, a cold beer that'll give you the warm feeling. Bock Lager, available at all three WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Hanley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. Jackson, let's keep going with this Kansas City Chiefs conversation, because Jacob and I are kind of on the same page, is that we'll start here. They're going to have probably like the 12th pick, it seems like. Do you take Jeremiah Love, or do you sign a free agent?
Well, I think so. As of right now, they are picking ninth. I think.
Are they nine? No way.
It was nine on Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
Which is crazy. First of all, second of all, raises the discussion of do they try and win against the Raiders or not? And even if you don't try against the Raiders, do you still win because the Raiders are so dang bad? Like, so we'll see what happens there. But let's say you're picking like in that 9 to 12 range. Does Jeremiah Love get to you there? Probably several other teams that would be in that conversation, but a lot of teams now are a little bit more skeptical about taking a running back that high.
I agree.
So he may fall to you, and I would say if he falls to you, you take him regardless. I wouldn't reach for him, but if he falls to you, you take him. I would also say a potential avenue for the Chiefs here is to trade back a little bit. Like move back, get some draft capital for the future, like in 2027. And, build what you can for this year, but then once 2027 comes, load up on that talent and build from there. That is certainly a position.
It's interesting because of the fact of, like, if you're the Chiefs, everybody talked about this Mahomes window, and it depends on how fast Mahomes comes back. I kind of am with you on the fact that if we get to time, it's draft time in April, and we figure out that Mahomes isn't coming back until November, then it's like, guys, what are we going to do here? If we're going to start Chris Oladokun for a whole year, like maybe we do need to trade back and, start thinking about it next year and get ready for the 2027 season rather than the 2026 season. I don't think that'll be the case. I think you'll be pretty close to week one. It may be a couple of weeks. I'm leaning more towards like a week four type of thing if I had to take a stab. But again, neither of us are doctors, and I tell Jacob that all the time. What are we doing here? Speculating about medical returns. We have no idea what we're talking about. But I think I would imagine he can fall to him, especially if they're at nine, which you're correct. I'm looking at Tankathon. They are at number nine right now with the 6-10 record. But either way, furthering the conversation here, either they're going to draft Jeremiah Love or they're going to go sign somebody. potentially like Breece Hall, which would be great. I don't think they can get by, you know, skating with just a middle of the road guy. I think they need to go get something. I agree they'll probably bring Kareem Hunt back on something that's pretty cheap, but I don't see a world where Isaiah Pacheco comes back on this team. He hasn't had the year or the year and a half since he broke his leg in half last year that he's was having his rookie year. So I think they will make a change. The bigger question that I want to ask you about that Jacob and I have talked about a lot is, do you retool what the Chiefs look like if you go do something like that? Because if you go get Jeremiah Love, or if you go get Breece Hall, quote unquote, you know, Breece Hall-ish player, you're not going to put him back there to carry the ball 8 times a game like Isaiah Pacheco does.
Yeah.
Do you think Andy Reid can transform into that?
I think he could. I think he probably should as well. Like, you know, looking at the Chiefs running back room, I think the only running back that's still going to be on contract after this year is Breshard Smith. So you're going to have to make some decisions. And again, like whether you keep Kareem Hunt on a league minimum or a very cheap deal, I think he's making like $1.3, $1.4 million this year, which isn't all that much in the grand scheme of things. But in the Chiefs cap situation, like if you can trim a little bit off of that, because he's going to be 31 or something like that next season, then that would certainly help. But that still only leaves you with two real running backs, and you're going to need some more bodies back there. Like, do you sign Damian Pierce again? Because he's only making like $800,000 to be a practice squad guy, which I would love that job. If the Chiefs need a practice squad running back or a practice squad anything, you can pay me what Damian Pierce is making, and I will be there every day, bright and early. I will be the first guy in, the last guy out. That's a promise.
That was a fun Christmas conversation of saying, like, how much do you think Chris Oladokun actually makes? I'm like, I mean, probably like $500,000 just to kind of go to practice. And they're like, what? He does?
It's insane. Yeah. But my point being, like, you're going to be in a position where you probably need to draft at least one running back because you just simply need the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends on, do you go for that top-tier guy? And I think, again, if Jeremiah Love is there, you take that shot. Because if you can get anywhere close to what, like, recreating what the Bills have right now with James Cook, you're going to be in a great position. Because they are a pass-first offense, what they want to be with Josh Allen, but they have this incredible running game that they can rely on when Josh Allen has an off day like he had on Sunday against the Eagles, where they can rely on this incredible back to keep them in games and put them in a position where they still have a chance to win. And you, with a quarterback that's coming off an ACL and an LCL injury, like, it would behoove you to give him an option to just hand the ball off and carry the ball down the field that way. Like, retooling the offense is the only way to go, both for that for the future. Because Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to be more mobile than he was this year, probably ever again. Because one, he just tore his knee, like we said. And two, he's going to start getting a little bit older. And if he's going to be playing in this league for 15 or more years, like, you know, Tom Brady, he's going to have to stop running around all the time. He's going to have to become more of a pocket passer, and you can develop that by giving him a running game around him and a more reliable offensive line. So, again, lots of things to fix.
I'm at the point now in this conversation where if they don't invest in a running back and change the way that they run their offense, like, I'm gonna go feral on sports talk radio. It just makes too much sense not to do it. Like, they are at the point now where I agree with everything you just said about what the Bills do and the reason it works so well. Like, Josh Allen was a guy that would throw 40 passes a game like Patrick Mahomes would do. And the Chiefs try to do it. The fact of the matter is, I don't think Patrick Mahomes got worse. I don't think the Chiefs' offense got worse. This wide receiver core is the best wide receiver core the Chiefs have had under Andy Reid, probably. Like, it's better than the Legion of Zoom, I think, even with the old Travis Kelce as a part of this. The fact is that defenses are better than they used to be. And the NFL goes in cycles like this. Back whenever Patrick Mahomes was a rookie, a second-year, third-year player, whenever he was lighting the world on fire, it was like, holy cow. he's going to throw for 500 yards a game, and they're going to score 50 points every single time out, and that's how they're going to win football games. That's how they did win football games. Their defense was terrible back then. They've made the adjustment a little bit where last year they were a defensive-heavy team. This year, defense wasn't there quite as much as it was the year before, but everybody, I mean, I would love to look up the stat. The unders on sportsbooks have to have hit at a 75% clip in the last 2 years because offenses just aren't as good as they were. Not because the offenses are worse, it's because defenses are better. And the reason, the way you can, you know, combat that is trying to control the clock, trying to control the football. You do that with an elite running back. And the Kansas City Chiefs, this is the point that drives me the most insane, is they've got the highest paid center and the highest paid guard in the National Football League. Like, they're not tackles to protect your passer. They're middle offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen that can plug up holes and let your guy go to work. Like, they have to do it. I think that they have to absolutely do it at this point. It makes too much sense not to. I think they do draft Jeremiah Love, but if Breece Hall's on the table and they have a good feeling they can get him, which Breece Hall likes Kansas City, it's a conversation that we'll have. It'll be a really interesting conversation come April, come June, everything of that nature, come May, excuse me, I skipped a month there, but we'll dig into much more of that. We'll come back. We got a comment here on our YouTube stream from Jason. We'll dig into that. We'll dig into a little bit of KU, Darren Peterson news. We'll talk a little Monday Night Football. We've still got much more Sports Daily coming up here on KFH. We'll be right back.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily here on KFH. TJ Cleland, Jackson Schneider in with you. If you missed anything, again, go back on the Odyssey app. You can listen live every day on the Odyssey app. You can listen to us on X, on YouTube, on Facebook, on much more. 12 News Connected Plus. Go find ways to live stream this. You can also obviously listen on the radio, 97.5 FM, KFH, home of sports talk radio. Jackson, I want to dig into this comment, as you can leave comments on our video stream, whether that be on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We'll find a way to see it. We'll get your calls, get your comments here on the show. You can also call in on the IHOP hotline, KFH hotline. Max Power manning that, 869-1240, if you'd like to chime in here. Jason Carey, loyal listener to the show here, says, with 2025 coming to an end, what are your favorite sports moments of the year? Either something you watched or you covered. Love you both. Jason, we love you. We love listening. We love viewers and listeners, I guess viewers if you're on YouTube. Jason's been here all 2025 and beyond. And he asks us what our favorite sports moments of the year are. Jackson, I'll let you go first. I know you're new here to KFH, but you're not new to watching sports in Kansas.
No, I am not. And I've had the pleasure of seeing a lot of really cool things in the year 2025. And this is a great question. I was actually sitting around the last couple of days thinking about that. Like, what have I done? What have I experienced this year, especially sports-wise? But I'm going to actually pick a April baseball game. Actually, a couple of April baseball games, because I was sitting in a hospital room in Salina Regional Hospital holding my son for the first time, and the Newman Jets, shout out to the Jets, that day played Wichita State in a baseball game out at the X Stadium. That I'm still learning. I'm still new to Wichita, but they were on ESPN Plus, and so I was tuning in, watching Newman and Wichita State play baseball, and holding my son, and that turned into watching the Royals play the Minnesota Twins, the first game of my son's life, and the Royals won thanks to Kyle Isbell driving in two runs of all things and hitting a home run that game. So I have this very vivid memory of being about as tired as I have ever been in my entire life, but holding my newborn son and watching the Royals beat the Twins. It was a very, very cool day for me just to watch baseball.
That's how Isbell Schneider got his name, after Kyle Isbell walk-off against the Minnesota Twins in April. Jackson, to answer this question, we actually just did, I'm not sure if you caught it, on Sunday night, we had some end-of-the-year programming, trying to get by with all of our windows that we have over on the TV side. We had to do a Sports Sunday this past week, and everybody was out of town with all their Christmas obligations. We did a year-in-review 2025 replay Sports Sunday. And we did everything basically month by month as we went along. And I think that 6 of the 10 biggest stories happened in the month of December. it has been that wild of a month. I think that we went from the Chiefs losing in the Super Bowl to March Madness coming to Wichita. I tell people that all the time is that, you know, I've covered Super Bowls and I've covered the Elite Eight in New York City and everything like that. I've covered March Madness, you know, every year that I've been in the business. And the March Madness that we had here in Wichita was the coolest one that I've seen of all of them, even though KU wasn't here, just seeing everybody come out and, you know, Kelvin Sampson biting my head off, telling me he was tired of Wichita State questions. You know, that was a memory that I'll take with me for a long time. That was a good one. March Madness was a ton of fun. Obviously, the TBT in Wichita, the Aftershocks winning the $1 million was a lot of fun. Watching the Marcus Keene show, the honorary shocker. And then, you know, as we keep going along here, you get into the month of December, as I'm talking about, since the all in this month, it's still December, which is crazy. We have seen Chris Kleiman retire, Colin Klein get hired, Paul Mills have a near-death experience, and we almost lost him there.
And he literally talked to us from a doctor's office.
Yeah, you were on the show that day. I meant to talk to you about that, yeah.
I could not bring that up yesterday and like take the blame and say that's my bad, because apparently I just come fill in and Coach Mills is
First time you ever talked to Coach Mills on the radio, he's on his deathbed, almost literally. Coach Mills having all that stuff go down. Then we, you know, finally calm down on the K-State front. And then Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL, and the Chiefs miss the playoffs a year after being in the Super Bowl. And then you keep going, and it doesn't slow down. And the Chiefs announce a move to the state of Kansas, which is like every single one of those headlines is one that if you see it, you're like, that's made up. That didn't actually happen. And it all happened in a month. That's how crazy of a year 2025 is in the sports world. And that's what I, you know, talk to people about is that in the TV world, you know, obviously there's the local elections as one of the biggest things that we do is covering elections. Tornadoes, severe weather is the other big reason that people turn on local news and everything like that. I said, if you take what the sports department's done in relativity to, you know, other events, we just had 7 tornadoes hit the state of Kansas and an elected official stepped down because of a scandal, blah, 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 blah. That's how crazy of a month it's been for us in 2025. And that doesn't even include the Royals. And they've had a crazy year as well, full of injuries and everything like that. You know, this month has been nuts, Jackson.
It's been insane, and like all the things that you just listed in the month of December, like that would be, it would be an insane year, but it was literally a month. Like you can still backtrack, and there's still so much other stuff that has happened in the year 2025. Like I don't think we have a long enough show to talk about everything that has happened in 2025. I mean, you talk about the Royals. I mean, They had made the playoffs the year before, and there were expectations for the Royals this past year, which is crazy to even think about. And, you know, you mentioned injuries, and you mentioned, you know, unexpected things. Like, I don't think we had Chris Bubich being an awesome starting pitcher on the radar, and then the injury to him pops up, or Cole Reagan's dealing with all these injuries. And that Royals season is a marathon, too. That's like what 7 months of the year right there, and you could just dive into all the storylines there. My goodness. Like, I'm a baseball guy. You're a baseball guy. We could talk baseball all day long, but it's just amazing to think about all the craziness that happened this past year.
Yeah, and we haven't even started talking about the Newman. Drew Mouse stepped down as the head coach at Newman. No, we won't, you know, indulge into Newman topics here on the show. You can find that on the JetCast hosted by Jackson Schneider.
Hey, I'll talk about the Jets anytime. Anytime. That's right. We're getting into conference play basketball wise New Year's Day. It's going to be a blast.
I saw RJ Allen a couple weeks ago. I'm into the point now where I've been graduated so long. I think that, you know, Thomas Ford, not to, you know, get too deep in the weeds here, that was the only guy that I think I crossed paths with that was on the roster. I don't think he's playing anymore. If he is, I don't even know. I'm not even sure.
Is still on the roster, man. I love that guy. Insane.
Get a job, Thomas Ford. What do we do? I'm getting to the point where I'm removed. I don't even know half the coaches' names anymore because there's been that much turnover at Newman. But I'm definitely still a Newman guy as well. So, Jason, appreciate the question there. With the couple minutes that we have left here in this segment before we dig into some KU talk in the next segment, Jack, let's talk about Monday Night Football. We see the Los Angeles Rams who – you know, this was a Christmas conversation. You know, a lot of water cooler here of the fact of the Chiefs aren't good this year. The Bills are kind of good, but I don't really know. Like, who is the good team in football? I don't know. And
is there
a lot
one?
Of fingers are pointed? A lot of fingers pointed to the fact that it's the Rams. I think it's the Rams. Then they lose a heartbreaker to the Seahawks. It's like, yeah, well, the Seahawks are really good. And it was kind of a fluky thing, maybe. Like, the Rams are still probably good enough to go win the Super Bowl. And then they lose to the Atlanta Falcons, who aren't even going to make the playoffs. Like, I have no idea. Like, what is your short list of teams that could win the Super Bowl? Is it longer because nobody's good? Is it inverse here?
I would say it is longer than it normally is for me. Like, look, I was looking at the standings earlier and trying to, like, process of elimination, like, teams that you don't have to really take seriously. Like, the AFC, I'm probably going to cross out the Steelers. And even though the Ravens are 8-8 and technically haven't made the playoffs, like right now they're in ninth place in the AFC, I wouldn't cross out the Ravens, but I would cross out the Steelers, who are ahead of them in the standings. You go over to the NFC, the Panthers are 8-8. You could probably cross them off. But like outside of that, and I would maybe cross off the Chicago Bears just because I have a hard time believing in the Chicago Bears. Outside of those teams, you could make a case for literally everyone to go and win, you know, 3-4 games in a row and win a Super Bowl. And I don't know that I've ever said that. And that, as a Chiefs fan, is the most frustrating reason as to, like, you know, this year of all years to have them fall apart and accomplish nothing. That is why. Because, like, the Chiefs this year had the opportunity to just waltz to another Super Bowl, and they completely blew up. It blew up in their face. It is what it is. Now, though, you're looking at Josh Allen. You're looking at potentially Lamar Jackson. You're looking at, you know, all the NFC teams I mentioned, like Sam Darnold of all quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, like Brock Purdy, for crying out loud. All these different quarterbacks have a chance to go and win a Super Bowl and accomplish that this year without having to deal with Patrick Mahomes and the big bad Chiefs this year, because they are not in this conversation. It could literally be anybody, and my head spins thinking about it.
My first thought whenever I think about this of the year that it's turned into is that if you're Josh Allen and you finally get the year where it's like Patrick Mahomes isn't in the playoffs, like we're going to finally do this thing, and the Bills are struggling too, like I would be putting my head through the wall of like, if there was a year to do it, it's this year. Like, we've got to figure it out right now, because we won't get this opportunity very many times, because Patrick Mahomes is coming back next year and we'll see what that looks like. You know, guarantees and anything like that. But I mean, I agree. The NFC, you know, it's got a lot of teams that are, you know, the traditional powers that are in over there. But just like looking at this AFC, like, I don't know what team we're going to see win the AFC championship between the Broncos, Patriots, Jaguars, Texans, Chargers, and the struggling Bills in one of the worst years that they had in the last few, like, all of those teams, at some point, we have called a fraud on KFH Radio.
Probably.
Like, who's good in the AFC?
Here's my thing. With looking at the AFC, like, and reading those teams at the top, you know, like, the Patriots would be the one that I would be maybe the most confident in, like, having watched them play and been, like, inspired by what they've done. But the Broncos right now would be your one seed. And I just watched them go to the wire with Chris Oladokun. Like, I'm not going to trust them as far as I can throw them.
And then I mean, you can take this, all right, like, break this down right here. You have the Broncos that almost lost to Chris Oladokun, who have not looked good in any of their 13 wins, basically. Maybe you can cherry pick a few out of there, but I bet in at least 10, they've been taken to the wire with teams that they had no business going to the wire with. The Patriots have historically one of the easiest schedules in NFL history. Yeah. I agree, they look good. But
did you know that the New York Giants have more wins over teams with winning records than the Patriots do?
That's true. Like, it's insane. Like, look at their record. Look at their schedule. Everybody wants to call me. I know Max is going to start chiming in here whenever we're talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it.
You know, the big guys on the other side of the ball get paid too.
They do, but listen, they aren't as good as the teams that the Giants are beating, I guess.
But I want an asterisk. I want an asterisk on the year after the undefeated season when Brady got hurt. Whoever won that Super Bowl, I want an asterisk next to it because Brady didn't play.
Well, then we'll give an asterisk this year because Patrick Mahomes is hurt and can't be in the playoffs.
He was going to go anywhere anyway.
It's over, Johnny. One of my favorite things, having only been in the studio a handful of times.
Even I knew when it was over for Brady and the Patriots. You have to admit, it's over.
You're not going to find a guy with more passion than Max Power talking about the Patriots or talking bad about the Chiefs for that matter. Yeah. I love it.
And he's got
it.
The same argument. Every time that you say anything, you bring the same argument out, even though you bring out some critical thinking and try to differ him. Like, whoa, what about the year they went undefeated? Hold on. Yeah, well, I love so much.
So that
Max,
don't count. Going 16-0 and blowing people out and having Tom Jackson crying on ESPN. They're running up the score on people. They're not fair.
Max,
you were 3 years old. You weren't even there. I've seen them all. I've seen everybody, and I've seen it all.
I love so much of the fact that I'm a Chiefs guy, and in 40 years, whenever I'm, you know, Max's age, and I'll be producing a radio show, and somebody will be talking about Mahomes' legacy, I'll say, well, yeah, they only didn't make the playoffs in 2025 because Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL.
I'll take that bet right now. I'll be dead, but somebody will collect it for me. We'll take the bet.
We'll bring your
I can't wait to be the old head defending Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Oh, so chaos. So winning 16 games in a season was easy.
But
that's what you're saying.
Back on the original topic here. That said, like, the Patriots have had this easy schedule, but they are the team at the top of the AFC that, again, I would trust the most to win the Super Bowl.
I agree, Max. We're not being haters here, by the way. I am with Jackson on the fact that I think that the Patriots are probably going to be the best team going into the playoffs
in the AFC from what we've seen so far. They're a year away.
But Max, be excited. They're one of the best teams in football.
They're a year away.
Even if they're a year away, tell me who's going to usurp them, because the Bills – are the 7 seed. And
I trust Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the man.
I have never seen him do it in the playoffs before. Like, I would love for him to go do it, because I actually, as a Chiefs fan, I love Josh Allen. I love watching him play.
Everybody loves Josh Allen.
Hey, I think he's an awesome person. I want to see him succeed. I would love it for the city of Buffalo, because you talk about tortured fan bases. They deserve some success over there in Buffalo, man. But
I can't wait to see, like, what the odds are going to be once we get the official brackets out and everything like that, because I'm with you that, like, this is the year that even when the Chiefs were still, like, even heading into the week the Chiefs got eliminated, it was like, yeah, they're still the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl, just in case, because it's like nobody knows anything, but you know that Josh Allen is good in the playoffs, and you know, he's just never been able to get over the Mahomes.
McDermott cost them that year when he should have squib kicked. If he squib kicked, there was 6-7 seconds off. If he squib kicked,
oh, the 13 second game you're talking about,
if he squib kicked,
you're not. Which you got a valid point.
I don't trust McDermott.
That was the year too that we all discovered that the Bengals were now a team to be feared, and they have done absolutely nothing since.
Basically, yeah. So I don't know. It feels the NFC, you know, outside of, you know, the Bears sneaking in there, but they've had a really good year. I trust the Bears more than I trust a lot of those teams in the AFC. I mean, 1 through 7 of the teams that have gotten in, the 1 through 7 are all really good. You know, you talk about who's going to end up being the, you know, if it's going to be the Panthers that get in there, sneak in there. You know, I'm rooting for Bryce Young. I love Bryce Young. But, you know, these teams are all actually pretty legit. Who's the best team of these seven? You know, of these seven that I've seen that have clinched a playoff spot, Seahawks, Bears, Eagles, 49ers, Rams, and Packers, you could put them in a vacuum with each other and have them play each other, and every single team could walk out after playing 100 times and be 500, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that Harbaugh...
There's just not a clearing away.
Harbaugh's given Denver the number one seed. He's sitting everybody.
What, that, to me, doesn't matter, because the one seed in the NFL this year means less than it's ever meant because of what we just said. Like, Denver will get a week off, but then their reward will be like the Buffalo Bills or the Chargers.
It might be Josh
right
Allen
away.
Or Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Like, you get a week to rest, but I don't think that 1 week is going to solve any of the Broncos' issues.
I'm going to talk a little KU hoops. This coming weekend, they open up their Big 12 slate. They go on the road to UCF. Let me pull up the schedule here while I'm talking. A place where they got upset 2 years ago with Hunter Dickinson as they went down to the home of Johnny Dawkins and lost that game. They start on the road on Saturday, then they come back on Tuesday for an 8 p.m. tip against TCU. Don't we love 8 p.m. tips in college basketball? Don't get me started on that. That's a whole other conversation. But it's a team that has had a lot of questions as they built it, had a lot of questions as Hunter Dickinson left and graduated of what it would look like. And we knew it was going to have Darren Peterson, and the rest was kind of all of a question. Now, as we head into conference play, we know that we'll have everything else. And now Darren Peterson is a question. That's a fat slice of irony in your face for thinking you know anything. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. We've seen him miss 9 games, I believe is the number we're at. Maybe 10. I can't remember. I think 9 or 10. But last night on Hawk Talk with Brian Haney, up in Lawrence, Bill Self talked about Darren Peterson, said he's practicing and they are, quote, really, really close. This is from Henry Greenstein in Lawrence Journal World, friend of the show, Henry Greenstein. Quote, it's unfair for people to assume the way something is because it's not like that. He hasn't been 100%. Just because he's practicing doesn't mean that he's 100%, although, gosh dang, he looks good to me. And then he continued on, Henry tweeting. He said, for Peterson's return, it could be immediate or it could be, quote, a little while longer, which that doesn't mean anything. No. That's a word salad if I've ever heard one. Quote, his rhythm's getting back and that kind of stuff, but he still probably doesn't have that explosion that he had prior to straining his hamstring and getting these cramps all the time. So, as you hear all that, it's basically just a big circle of saying he could come back, he could not come back. But it kind of leaves the door open for either thing. It's a very coach speak thing to say. Do you think that we're going to see him on Saturday in Orlando?
No, I don't. I don't think we're going to see him on Saturday. And I'm trying really, really hard when it relates to Darren Peterson about jumping like too far off and saying,
I agree.
Like, I don't think we're going to see him at all. But at this point, we're getting pretty darn close to like that being a reality. Because at what point does a guy who's not 100% just say, I'm good enough to go? Like, I woke up today at 5:45 so I could come get in here into the studio. I'm telling you right now, I did not feel 100% when I walked in. But I'm here. Like, what other profession do you just get to sit out and collect your paycheck when you're not feeling 100%? Now, I will say, I really doubt this is all Darren Peterson's doing. I would imagine he probably wants to play. But I would also imagine he's got an agent or some family members in his corner that are saying, hey, like, don't push yourself too much because this is just a stop on the journey, which you have to understand as well.
That was kind of the big piece of the saga that we learned last week, whatever Self talked after the Davidson game, I believe, when he basically just said, like, they talked about that they don't want him to come back until he's 100%. And we agree with that. And it was kind of like, and Henry, again, callback, as he was like, who's they? And he said, it's his family. But we agree with it, you know. And that was something that, you know, we talked about with Shreyas Lada last week. We'll have him in tomorrow, our KU insider, and discuss this more at large. But, you know, I agree, you know, and the scariest part about all this stuff, and listen, the thing that I say every time that we talk about this is that, you know, we don't deal in conspiracy theories. There's a lot of people that do, and there's a lot of people that'll sit there and say, he's a bust, he's not going to play, he's just going to collect his paycheck and not play. That's not what we're doing. We're saying the fact of, like, there are questions to be asked about this stuff because there are people who are thinking that, and you have to answer to that. And that's the job of sports journalists, is to figure out what's going on. And we're just trying to convey what we know about all the situation and speculate on what we think is going on. And that's the only thing that you really can do with all this stuff. But I'm with you. The fact that you have a guy who realistically, and this is, you know, Shreyas talked about this as well, is he could not play a second of college basketball and he's still probably going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft because that's how good he was in high school. That's how good he is in the flashes that he's shown. He could legitimately shut down for the rest of the year and just not play and still be the number one pick. And that's terrifying as somebody at KU to know that you don't need us. We need you.
Yeah. But here's my thing. You know, the best ability is availability. You hear that all the time.
And I can't believe that NBA people are talking about this.
I'm sure there are some NBA front office execs that have kept a very close eye on this, knowing full well how talented Darren Peterson is, but keeping in mind, like, hey, if we take a shot on him, number one overall, and he has a sore back after his first NBA back-to-back, like, is he going to sit out for 2 weeks? Like, are we going to get ourselves into like, I'm betting a lot of execs need to see him go put a couple of games together, not just like one game where he leaves early with cramps. Like, they need to see some form of proof that he is capable of straining his body, pushing his body to the limits that it is, that it has, and still performing and still being able to go and do it, you know, back-to-back games. And we haven't seen that from Darren Peterson. That is a concern. But as you mentioned, like, it's a big-time concern for KU to be in that position of, like, hey, like, we're a pretty good team right now without him, but if we want to get where we really want to go, we need this guy to come back at some point, and you just don't know when that's going to be.
I agree, and I think that there is the fact that, you know, obviously he's an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. He wants to play basketball. I'm sure he does. If he doesn't, then that's another conversation that NBA executives are going to have to figure out, is if this guy likes basketball. He does. He's talked a lot about – he makes YouTube vlogs. I don't know if you've seen any of this. He's a vlogger, and he talks about how he wants to get back and how bad he feels that he can't play right now and all of that stuff. So it's just something that we're going to have to continue to monitor. It's the biggest story that surrounded KU all year long. It's something that Bill Self is going to get asked about every single time that he talks until April. Well, Darren Peterson's still on the roster. How's his health? How's everything going? And he's going to have to answer that question. And last night he answered it and basically said it could be immediate or it could be a little while longer, which means it could be any time in the calendar year of 2026, basically. I don't know. Make your own assumptions of what that means. It kind of just, to me, it leaves the door open to where they can say he can't play on Saturday, and that's just kind of how Bill Self, you know, works. He understands the things that he says, and I think he's just giving himself an opportunity there, if I had to guess.
TJ, let me ask you this. So KU plays on Saturday, and for them, that means that they basically – got 12, I think it's 12 days rest between the win over Davidson and this game against UCF to open Big 12 play. Darren Peterson, what, hasn't played since, you know, parts of that NC State game, correct? So it's been a long time. It has been almost, we'll call it 3 weeks since he's touched a basketball court in a game for KU. But with 2 weeks essentially off from games to practice or not practice or rest or whatever, and coming into this game against UCF, are you more concerned about Darren Peterson if he doesn't play? Like, worry right now versus asking you Sunday morning knowing he didn't play the day before, are you going to, like, threat level midnight if you're a KU fan?
I don't know. Threat level midnight, that's a good callback there. But it's the fact of the story is that, you know, we talked about this back when they played Corpus Christi on November 11th and he didn't play, and everybody's like, oh, so he's just not going to play against the Cupcakes. That's what we're going to do. He's just not going to play. He's just going to rest. And then it turned into he didn't play against Princeton. And it's like, yeah, well, we'll see if he plays against Duke. Then he didn't play against Duke. Then he didn't play against Notre Dame. Then he didn't play against Syracuse. Then he didn't play against Tennessee. Then he didn't play against UConn. And then the conversation turned to, well, let's pump our brakes. Like, we just need him when the games matter, okay? Like, KU fans need to calm down, just get him back for Big 12 play, and it'll be fine. And then it turned into he played against Mizzou and NC State limited. He left both of those games early. And then it was like, do we shut him down and just let him rest and figure this out? And KU was adamant of the fact of, we're not going to shut him down. We're going to keep going like he's going to play because he's that close. He's that close to playing. And if he doesn't play on Saturday, then why didn't you shut him down? Like, he is shut down at that point. Like, if this is something, that's the biggest thing about all this stuff, is that the transparency has been kind of weird. And it's a weird injury, and I understand that they're trying to figure it out as they go along as well. But, like, that's the frustrating part, is that everything has kind of gotten pushed back and said, like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It'll be a big deal on January 3rd. It's going to be January 3rd, and if he doesn't play, then it turns into the fact of, like, okay, well, if he's missing conference games, like, when is he going to play? Like, when do these become something where he needs to push through something? And I don't want to hurt him, and trust me, I don't want the number one pick in the draft to go out and tear his hamstring because he tried to play hurt, and Kevin McCullough tried to play hurt, and he made it worse, basically. That's something that we've talked about a lot as well, but that's why it's become such a big deal, and that's why the panic meter has kind of gone up more and more as we've gone along through this. If he doesn't play on Saturday, it'll be the highest that it's been, you know, all year for sure. It'll be January 3rd, and of course it'll be all year. Ha, 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 sorry. Anyways, go ahead.
Are you one of the guys that wakes up on January 1st and says, "Oh, I haven't showered since last year."
Oh man, I love a good dad joke. I'll see you next year. Hey. Yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy story. Jackson, we got a couple minutes left here. This is something that you sent over. This is making some national headlines. Tulsa of the American Conference, foe of the Shockers, not in football, though. They are renting a house and calling it the Portal House, January 2nd through the 16th. The coaches will basically live in this house and basically spend all their days recruiting the transfer portal, bring recruits over to this house for their visits, and they're going to like live stream some stuff and make a little documentary out of it as well. It feels like a good idea, I think.
Yeah, their campus is closed, I guess, until mid to late January. I forget the actual date. But by renting this house, they have this hub that they can do all of their portal recruiting operations from. They can bring kids on campus. They'll have access to the facilities, but it gives them a space to just kind of do everything that they need to do. And it's a very unique opportunity to give people a firsthand look at what the portal is like now, especially for a mid or a G5 program. Like the G5 programs, we talk about, you know, the portal and how it's hit K-State harder than it has before this year. This is like a regular occurrence in the G5. Yes. Because you've got kids that are your top tier G5 kids are going to go and transfer up to a Power 4 program, or you've got kids that are coming up from D2s that were going to, you know, were under recruited. They're going to come to a G5 team like yours. Like, these guys are busy as all get out for the next several weeks. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to tune in. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it as well. I like Trey Lamb, their coach. Number one golfer in all of college football coaches, by the way. Just a real stick. He's good. The best thing I saw about this yesterday is I can't wait for people to call this corny and then call it cool whenever Alabama does it in 2 years. That's probably the most truth about this. All right, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Appreciate Jackson filling in the last 2 days here as we are all coming back to Kansas from our holiday travel. Programming note for all of those looking for shows later this week, we have one more show on Wednesday for New Year's Eve, and then we are off on the 1st and the 2nd. Chiefs talk tonight here on KFH, 6 o'clock, the Chiefs Kingdom Show at 6 o'clock for that, or listen online at kfhradio.com or the free Odyssey app. Jackson, enjoy the rest of your off work of the day job. I know you got to get home and let the little man boss you around a couple more days, though.
I'm trying to get him to sit in one place for a little while so I can watch some bowl games, relax a little bit. But he learned how to move, and he has not stopped moving since. So I'm going to be putting in my work, really, once I get home. It's really, this is the relaxing part of my day, coming in here and talking with you guys.
coming in here and screaming at myself and Tommy. So we'll appreciate it. We'll have Jackson on plenty in 2026, as we'll be busier than ever. For Jackson, for TJ, for Max, for Wyatt Thompson. You can hear him at the Sun Bowl, apparently. I didn't even know that. Appreciate you listening. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.